Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And if you had a chance to join us this week, we've been looking at the reality of the kingship of Jesus being inspired by last Sunday's solemnity, the celebration of the kingship of Jesus, the ruler, the king and lord of all, the king of the universe. And that is the culmination of the church year. Making our way now, we'll be beginning coming up here, Advent, which is the beginning of the new church cycle, the new cycle for this next year. But it ends with the triumph, just the church having made this journey again. And by the way, the church is so wise, friends, that if we kind of pay attention, the whole cycle of what happens in a church year is really the God's unfolding in the story again and again of God's plan of salvation. Our story, we live our story, we walk it out, we remember, and we have to get brought into it again and again to remember this is just not a story like any other book. This is a lived reality right now because it's the story of the kingdom, the story of the coming of the kingdom of God, the revelation of God, the offering of salvation, meaning to be brought human beings alienated from God, enemies of God, to become friends of God, children of God, united to God in the person of Jesus. This is the biggest thing going on anywhere in the cosmos. It's bigger than everything put together. Everything else will pass away. This reality, the reality of the kingdom and the Father's plan, which he's so delighted in to glorify his Son and to reveal to us the glory and beauty and majesty of his Son, as he's gazed upon him, and from all eternity they've shared that love together that we talk about as the Holy Spirit. We're being brought into that. We've got a lot of responsibilities on earth. We have a lot of things we need to pay attention to, all of that. The Lord knows that, but all of it is secondary to coming to know the King, living in and from the kingdom. And that is coming into salvation, coming into new life, coming into his church, being part of God's rescue project for the salvation of the world before he brings all things here to an end. And Jesus is the one. Part of his kingship, if we read, he's the judge of the living and the dead. Jesus said, the Father has given judgment to the Son. On the cross, he's already made the judgment overall. This world will pass away. The kingdom of this world has been judged and brought down. It's on its last legs. Any attachment to this kingdom, this world, the love of money, the love of power, the disordered love of sexuality, whatever it is, and whatever idols here of the world, if we're attached to those idols, we're going down with those idols. People every day, they find their identity in an idol. It's so sad. An idol is something that's really less than it. We're made in the image and likeness of God. But the darkness of the human heart, the darkness of the human mind, the need to be kings ourselves, to make ourselves the center of reality and the center of the world, our little world, it's so dark, it's so destructive, and we can't even see it. It's called, Jesus said, if darkness is your light, if you call darkness light, how blind can you be? Jesus is the light of the world that's come into that darkness. And what's revealed is the Father's plan that we've been looking at, and that is the gift of his Son, who he has enthroned as king forever of the kingdom. The one kingdom that will last forever. Everything else is going to pass away. This is the one offer for salvation. This is the one offer for eternal life. You don't get it any other way. This is the already and the not yet also. We've been talking about the kingdom. The kingdom's already been established. It's manifested in the life of the church. And the church is meant to be a light that just passionately goes out to reveal to the world the beauty and majesty of Jesus and the gift and offer of salvation that he's given us. I ended the program yesterday with a section from Revelation chapter 1, and I want to just touch on that a little bit more and then tell a story today, a personal story. So I'll just read it quickly to bring up to speed again and then draw some conclusions from it and then share the story. Revelation 1, 12 through 20. John on the island of Patmos in prison, praying on the Lord's day, gets a revelation of the glory and majesty of Jesus. This is the Lord's consolation to him. He is enslaved in prison. He can't get to his people. He can't shepherd his people. And the Lord said, I'm in charge. Remember who I am. You want to live through difficult and dark times? Remember who he is. Draw strength from it. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden girdle around his breast. His head and his hair were white as wool and white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place hereafter. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Those are the seven churches that John was shepherding, and the angels refer to the bishops or the pastors over those churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches themselves. What did Jesus show John who was interceding for his people? Where is the Lord? How about that? I mean, can you imagine? John's in prison. Very easy for human beings to say, where is God? Why am I in jail? Why can't I do what I'm called to do? Why can't I do what I want to do? Where is God? I'm not sure that's what John was saying, but the Lord is clearly giving him consolation, and he's saying, what's going on with your churches? Where am I, the Lord? I'm standing right in the middle of your churches. These are my churches. These are my people. And where are the leaders? Has he abandoned them? No, they're in the palm of his hand. And any priests who are listening or bishops who are listening, remember that. Let this passage give you consolation and grace and strength. The Lord's right in your midst. Of course, we know that, especially in the Eucharist, but he's walking among your people and he's got you in the palm of his hand. We went through these and the meaning of these various things that, and they all describe like eyes flaming fire. Jesus' gaze penetrates. It's clarity of judgments. It's perfect knowledge. Nothing can escape his gaze. Those are the eyes that each of us are going to see at our particular judgment, by the way. It's going to happen. And the truth about us will be absolutely revealed in its totality. So get it out now as much as you can, brothers and sisters. Like, just tell the truth, get in the light, go to confession, and just align your mind and heart with Jesus now. His voice is like many waters, absolute authority and power. So all these different things, fear not, I'm the first and the last. What do people fear? The devil's strategy, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, is to enslave the human race through the fear of death. Death is a dominion. We fight against it every single day. It leads people to depression, leads people to do stupid things. It leads people to addictions and all kinds of things that happen, and people to wield death in order to pretend they have power over death. It's all there in this fallen world. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. I am the Lord. Death has no hold on me, has no dominion over me. I've destroyed that. Anyone who is in me is free, free of that demonic power and that demonic strategy. So here's some of what's summarized there. Christ's kingship is divine. He is the divine king, animated absolutely, totally with the Father's glory and the will of the Father. His kingship is priestly. He's among the lampstands. He mediates the grace of God. He sanctifies God's people. He teaches us how to make an offering of our lives to God like he did on the cross. 3, Christ's kingship is just and truthful. The sword symbolizes his word, the sword that came out of his mouth, the instrument of truth and justice and judgment. His kingdom is governed by the power of his word. He came to proclaim the truth, to expose the lies and the deception of the kingdom of darkness. 4, Christ's kingship is merciful and it's protective. He reassures John that the churches are aware that he's standing in their midst. He's their shepherd, as I said. And the shepherds themselves, he has not forgotten. His reign, his authority, his presence is what sustains the flock everywhere on the planet. And Christ's kingship is eternal and it's victorious. He lives forever. He's the one who possesses the keys of death and Hades, right? That's what he just said. His rule extends beyond time and beyond the grave. No earthly power can oppose him. No earthly power can oppose him. He reigns presently among us in his church. He rules through his word and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He judges and purifies his people. He conquers death for us. And he calls his servants to be faithful witnesses in his kingdom. Friends, I've been talking this week about the kingdom because it's the center of everything. To be Catholic, to be Christian, means that you've entered the kingdom. You've come into union with the King, his body. And having done that, the normal Christian life is a life in which you are aware of entering the kingdom. You're beginning to grasp the totality of what it means in your life, that your life is no longer your own. It belongs to him. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And to be a normal Christian, a normal disciple, is to be absolutely obsessed and focused on all that the King desires and the way of life he desires us to live. We make him our fundamental priority. Everything else is secondary, even our marriage, even our children, and especially all our possessions and all our dreams and fun things we want to do. We now belong to him and we have a renewed mind. We can see like John by his grace. We can see and the Spirit of God comes upon us. I remember one time I was giving a retreat to college kids years ago from the University of Michigan, Eastern Michigan University too, some of them. I was part of a team that was doing it. And I was asked to give a talk and I kind of discerned what to do. And this passage I just read yesterday and touched on a little bit today, Revelation chapter 1, where John is getting this revelation of the beauty, majesty, glory, power of Jesus. I felt like the Lord said I should talk about it. And as I was praying, I thought, wow, this is going to be amazing. I could feel it. And I thought, okay, I build this talk together. You know, it's like a 30-minute talk, or by the 20-minute mark, it's going to be really great and all these wonderful things I can say. And something happened there that happened only one other time. And I began this talk. And within the first 10 minutes, as I was just kind of building the talk, not even getting to the inspiring parts, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started moving and young people all over that room, must have been 80 people, something like that, just started weeping and weeping. Some started wailing. Some got up and went to the back of the room and laid down on their face, and they were just wailing because the holiness of God came. And I'm thinking, Lord, not now. The best part's coming. You know what I mean? It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the word and what the Lord wanted to do that day. It was really something to see. They trembled. Just like John, when John saw me, fell to the ground as though dead. He saw the holiness and majesty and wonder of the King. Lord, I ask for that revelation. I pray for this kind of revelation to fall on parishes all over the world so that people can just be purified and aligned with the King, which is the source of life for each and every one of us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.